We have a lengthy passage today. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 all the way to 56. And you don't believe I'm going to finish it, but I will. Lord willing, we'll try. I want to read it. Verse 39. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country to a city of Judah. And entering the house of Zacharias, and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded for the humble state, of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Let's pray. Our Father in God, we are grateful and thankful that your grace is greater than all our sin. What a marvelous grace it is. We thank you for that. We thank you and praise you that Romans reminds us that because of that, we do not want to sin, thinking that your grace would abound even more. But Father, help us to just walk by faith. Help us as we look into the Word of God to learn from this incident with Elizabeth and Mary. Encourage our hearts to trust in you, and from our lips and our hearts, not just our hearts, but from our lips, might we sing praise to your name. Might we be a people who are ready to give testimony and praise to the things that you are doing. Thank you for the text before us. Be with the children, the teachers and helpers, and we thank you that all that you're accomplishing in this building, in the hearts of all who can hear your word being taught. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Excitement about what God is doing. In our passage, God has intervened now, as we have seen, twice in the last 6 months in mankind after having 400 years of silence by sending a specific angel by the name of Gabriel to two women. Interesting, by the way, he sent it to the angel to two women to make some announcements. And these two women that were involved, one of them was Elizabeth, an older woman who was childless for all her years, and she was going to have her son, and Gabriel announced that to her. She was going to have a son, and this was nothing less than a miracle of God. And her son would eventually be, as we will find out in our text, not this morning, but in Luke, John the Baptist, as he's known. The one who would be the pointer, the one who would be the announcer, the one who would be pointing people to the true Messiah. And he also came the second time to a young maiden by the name of Mary. She was a virgin and also announced a miraculous birth for her. Hers was even more miraculous in that she would have a son, and that son would be of the Holy Spirit, and it would be indeed the Messiah that had been promised by God. And we spent our time looking at that last week, that have no question about it. There's no doubt about it. If you were not here, I'd recommend that you just listen to that message, because there is no doubt about it that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And we dealt with that last week. Special circumstances? Unusual? Miraculous? Yes, without question. But what I want you to see this morning, right up front, and if you get nothing else in the message, get this part of it early on. What I want you to get is when God is at work, when God is doing something, when God's hand can be seen, it is a cause for excitement. It is a cause for rejoicing. It is a cause for singing. And in fact, I want you to see this morning for just a moment that this is going to be a theme in the beginning of the gospel according to Luke. Just absolutely rejoicing and singing and being excited about what God is doing. For example, look at Luke chapter 1, verse 47. In chapter 1, verse 42, we see this. And she cried with a loud voice, who is this? Elizabeth, and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. What have you got? Elizabeth basically singing out and rejoicing over what God is doing. Verse 46, Mary, when she sees what God is doing, my soul exalts the Lord. She's praising God when she sees what he's doing. Turn with me to verse 68 of the same chapter of Luke. You'll be familiar with it. This is Zacharias, who we know at this stage of our study, he can't even talk anymore. He can't talk until his son is born. And then his son is going to be born. And what happens? Verse 67, and his father Zacharias, filled with the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. He's not just talking about what's been done in his life. He's rejoicing and praising God over what God has accomplished. Redemption for the people of God. And he's excited. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2 just for a moment. Luke chapter 2. We will get there eventually. Verse 13. You know this one. When the announcement was made, I should go back and show you that, in verse 11. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now move down to verse 13. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. What were they doing? Praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. The angels, multitudes, are just rejoicing and praising God for what he is doing. Turn with me to chapter 2, verse 28. We will also get there. This is Simeon. And in verses 28 to 32, watch what happens. Then he took him, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, into his arms. And what did he do? He blessed God and he said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. A light of revelation, look at this, to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And there's just rejoicing, and there's just excitement, not only because of what Simeon's seen, but what's going to happen for the Gentiles, what's going to happen for you and me. What's going to happen for Israel? Just one more. Chapter 2, verse 30. And this is just in the beginning of the book. Chapter 2, verse 38. Anna, right? She's serving the Lord in the temple. And the Lord brings to light to her the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse 38. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Israel. She can't restrain herself. She just basically wants to tell everybody, look at what God is doing. God's redemption is here. And what are we saying right at the beginning? It's going to lead right into our passage. That you see that when God was working, people praised God and they opened their mouth. They didn't go into hiding and just go into private thanksgiving. They were speaking out loud and praising God for what he has done. And I want to ask this, what about us? What about us? We should be thanking God. We should be openly praising God abundantly, always, for the things that he's doing. You say, what things that he's doing? Pause for a moment, just let me name a few. How about salvation when we see some people come to the Lord? How about you when you got saved, reflecting back on the salvation that you have in the Lord? What about the baptisms that we've just had recently? We should be praising God. That shouldn't be kept in. That should be told to others. Look at what God's doing. He's changed a life. He's brought a person from darkness to light. He's brought a person that was in death, and now he's alive unto God. He couldn't see. Now he can see. Look at what God's doing. How about the answers to prayer? I never cease to be amazed myself, and I'm guilty of this as well. People asking for testimonies or answers to prayer, and we very shyly want to tell people how God's answering prayer. We get into a public setting, and we're not so sure we want to praise God. We're embarrassed, or we're afraid that our testimony isn't that great. We should be the people of God, of all people, that are praising God for what he's doing. And seeing it, if God is really working in your life throughout the week, even through trials, we should be praising God. Just a general observation about what he's doing. Just yesterday. Now, you've heard that several times today. And Chris didn't know what my message was and whatever. But I was just praising God to see all the people that came out. Just to rake leaves and to be together and have fellowship. We had a men's meeting yesterday morning. We actually literally took our normal study and put it aside. And we're talking about what happened in Spain and then get in and talked about the word of God and God working and just get into practical circumstances. We ought to be praising God all the time. You ought to be praising God as you look at your life, as you look at your family life, as you look at the local assembly. And I want you to notice, and you will in a few moments, even praising God for what he's doing in other people's lives. We should be involved in that. Our life should be filled with thanksgiving and with praise simply because we are seeing what God is doing. And that's a challenge to my own heart. It should be a challenge to yours. Is that the type of people that we are as we represent God? People that are excited and are praising God for what he's doing? Yeah, we're coming into the Thanksgiving season, and it's just ironic, I guess, in a sense that this is here now, but it's not just because of Thanksgiving season. We need to take a step back, a hard step back, and be praising God and stop complaining. We complain about our ailments, and I understand that. I have them too. And we get concerned, and we should. And we get trials, and they're not pleasant. But we of all people should be able to see through that. And the moment somebody comes in to talk about something, we should be the first ones to represent the Lord Jesus Christ and remember who we're speaking of. And I say that in light, I just came to my mind, something that happened yesterday, and I had a conversation with somebody in a public setting. And my comments to that person is, you are an embarrassment. An embarrassment to the institution that you represent. That's what I said. And the question is for us, are we an embarrassment to the Lord? Or do we represent the Lord by praising him and are a representation of what it should be like to walk with God? In our text this morning, we have two, I broke it down as simple as I could. The praise of Elizabeth, verses 39 to 45. And the praise of Mary that we find in 46 to 56. So let's get right into it. Elizabeth's praise in verses 39 to 45. And I want you to see this. This is really my theme for this as well in this study here is this. Faith in operation. This is faith in operation in the life of Elizabeth and in the life of Mary. Here's how faith operates. Here's what it looks like. Number one, it starts right here, by believing the promises of God for now. By believing what God has said now. I'll go a little bit out of the text, go back to verse 25. I want you to see that Elizabeth believed God for what he said at the time. This is the way the Lord has dealt with me. In the days he looked with favor upon me, and he took away my disgrace among men. She came to the point that she believed God that she would have the child. That's simple. That's what God was doing. And she believed him, and that's where faith starts, in believing God, even for salvation. You may be here this morning and haven't trusted in Christ. That's where it starts. Faith in action starts with faith, not just general faith, but faith in the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, in the fact that he is the Messiah of God, in the fact that he's the only one God's going to send. People are still looking in this world for someone to deliver. The only deliverer is God. And his son is the only one who could deliver us from sin. Mary started right there. Look at verse 38, just before our text. And Mary said, after she heard about having a child as a virgin, and with embarrassment that would bring, she says, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. I believe you, do it." And that's where faith starts. It starts with believing the things even when they seem impossible. When we can go to God's word and it says this, and we believe it and we submit to it. And that's what we ought to do. Even when it goes contrary, which it will constantly, contrary to the world's thinking, contrary to what we might think. When we go to God's word in our practical life and we see what God says and says, say to it, "I believe it and I will submit to it." That's where it starts. Second thing is it then takes action. And that's what happens in verse 39. Faith took action. We see that right away in verses 39 and 40. At that time, Mary arose and she went in a hurry. She heard about Elizabeth. Remember that in the passage? She not only knew what God said to her, but he said in verse 36, "Hey, your relative's also going to have a baby." And she was an old woman. And she believed that. And she went in haste. She was in a hurry. She couldn't wait to share with Elizabeth what God had said to her. Elizabeth didn't know about it yet. She couldn't wait to share what God was doing and to hear what God was doing in Elizabeth's life. That's excitement. That's what should go on in the Christian life. Excited to hear what God's doing. Excited to see what he's doing in people's lives. And we're not sure where this city is. By the way, this speculation, I'm not even going to speculate. It just simply says she went into the hill country to a city of Judah. We don't know what city it was. And she's excited. It probably was a couple of days' journey, but she enters in. And what did they do? They shared their experiences. And by the way, it would have been difficult to share with anybody else. Can you imagine a virgin walking up and saying, "I'm pregnant with a child, and it's of God." And this other woman saying, "You know, I haven't been able to have children all my life, and God spoke to me, an angel came, talked to me." Yeah, you're a nut house. That's what would have been said. And in fact, to help you appreciate it a little bit, what happened with Joseph? Joseph was upset. He said, what am I going to do? How am I going to put her away? This is an embarrassment. And an angel had to appear to him and say, "Wait a minute, I'm in all of this." And his faith, as we will see later, is also the same way. Okay, this is from you. Seems impossible. I trust it. I believe it. I will act on it. And that's how it starts. And there's excitement. They're obviously sharing. Who else would have believed it? And you notice what happens. The baby's John the Baptist. This is just, now by the way, she's 6 months pregnant. Would the baby be moving normally? Of course it would. Would it be moving around in the womb and everybody be able to even tell? Of course. I remember that when we went through with having our children and you can see the baby moving in a sense. But this is special. How do we know that? The baby reacted with joy. That's what it says. The baby leaped in her womb after the greeting. And verse 44 says, "Just by the sound of the greeting, the baby leaped in my womb for joy." This wasn't just an ordinary kick. This was just not an ordinary move. This was a miraculous thing because John the Baptist was going to be the one to proclaim the one he was now hearing about, and that was the news of the Messiah. God was at work in the whole thing. And it's a miraculous situation. And I will say in passing, though, because it is appropriate, that you need to understand that this is perfect evidence of life in the womb, and it's a baby, and it's real. And that ought to put away any thoughts on the concept of abortion being right or whatever, especially late term, doesn't matter what the term is at all. It's life, according to Psalm 139, right from conception. Right from conception. But you see the excitement that they had, and the baby's excited. What happens? Elizabeth rejoices. She rejoices in what God's doing. Notice this. Elizabeth's so excited about what's happening in her life, but she now rejoices in what's happening in Mary's life as well. We see that very clearly. What happened is when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, verse 31, the baby leaped, and she was excited, and she goes on to say the same thing. And blessed is she who believed, and the fulfillment that's going to happen. Elizabeth is excited about what's going on even in the life of Mary. Verse 42. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you. Not only am I blessed, but you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. She didn't get jealous. I only get to have John the Baptist. You get to have the Messiah. You know, that's Christianity today. You know, I got blessed with this, or I got recognized with this, but look at what happened over there. This isn't right, and that's not fair, and this ministry's not fair, and that's us. You know what she does? God's blessed my life. He blessed yours more abundantly. Praise God. Praise God. It was no jealousy whatsoever. There was no talking around, well, you know, this isn't fair at all, Mary. I should have been the one. No. Look at what God's doing in my life, but praise God, you're bringing in the Messiah. And the whole world's to rejoice about that. How could she do that? I'll tell you why. Because the context tells us. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we know that? Verse 41. When Elizabeth and Mary greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. The baby was filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll go back to that in a second. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean to be filled? Is that getting more? Is this like taking a glass of water and it's half full, and so I put more water in it and fill it up? So that in our life, you know, God gives us a little bit of the Holy Spirit and then he pours a little bit more in as it goes? No. The Holy Spirit comes in the life as a believer, and he's in the full capacity. What this is being controlled by. That's what the word filling means. It means to be under the control of. In other words, the Spirit of God had total control of Elizabeth's life. We see that. In verse 15 of chapter 1, go back there. I'd show you the baby. Remember this? In verse 15, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine and liquor, and he, that is the baby, will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. John the Baptist was controlled by the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth was controlled by the Holy Spirit. That is why he was able to leap for joy in her womb, because he was under the control of the Holy Spirit. Simeon will be the same way. In verse 67, later on, I read it already. It said, Zechariah. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 67. And God wants us to be the same way. I'll give you the passage. I won't turn to it for time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Why? Wine, and that'll give you the concept. Alcohol. We understand that. Whether you drink or you don't drink. It's just like drugs. What does it do? It controls the person. It takes control of them, so sometimes they don't think the way they normally would. They don't react emotionally the way that they would. When we come under drugs, medication will do that to us. Even the simplest things, have you ever had that? You take a simple medication, and all of a sudden, you get a little woozy, or you go to sleep because the drug's taken over or whatever, or the pill's taken over. We're not to be that way. In comparison, we're to be controlled by the Spirit of God. That is, we're to give our lives to the Spirit of God so that he can, and when he controls us, this is what you see. Praise, thanksgiving, rejoicing, not only in my life, but in other people's lives to see what God is doing. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in this situation, she recognized that God was working also in Mary's life, and she rejoiced. And you notice in verses 42 and 43, it says that the mother of my Lord. Interesting. Elizabeth recognized that. Elizabeth recognized that she was going to bear the Messiah, and that was going to be the one that would be her Lord as well. Why? He's the one true God. He's the one true Messiah. And she rejoiced in that. So it takes action. What was the action? She rejoiced and hurried and went to visit Elizabeth, and she shared. Then what? Rejoiced in not only what was going on in her life, but they rejoiced in what was going on in one another's life. It is also practical. Why? I want you to see verse 45. So faith starts with belief. It then has action behind it. It then rejoices in what is going on because God's working in others as well. And there's a practical side, and that is this. Faith believes God for the future of God's promises. I want you to see this, verse 45. And blessed is she who believed that he would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to her by the Lord. Is looking to the future as well. And it's going to happen with Mary. If you want to look down ahead of time, look at verses 54 and 55. Given help to the servant in remembrance of his mercy, as he has spoken to our fathers, to Abraham and to descendants forever. Verse 54, he has given help to Israel, his servant. And what do you mean by practicality with that? The practicality is this. We can might be able to believe God for what he's done now, but how about for the future? That's the way faith works. It doesn't just believe him now for the present, but for the future. Like what? To be practical with us, how about his return? Do you really believe he's coming back? How about for the resurrection, not only of all believers, but of you? How about that the fact that there's real life in heaven? And you'll be with God. Are you able to look beyond the present and look to the future and understand that? That's how faith operates. I know many of you have had the same encouragement, and most of you probably read the email that I sent out this week. What was it? After I visited Fanny. I walked in with Pastor Chris to Fanny, and many of you have shared this experience. And I walked in, and I'll be honest with you, she's not looking well. It's getting worse. She's getting closer to going home. We walked in the room, and the first two words were the words that I put in my email to you. Super duper. Super duper. And she was praising God. She told us, and I'm going to give it to you right, quote exactly. She said, I was just praying that the boys would come. That's the first time I've been made to feel like a young boy again, okay? But what I want you to see is this, the practicality of faith. And here she is getting closer to being home with the Lord, and she's believing just now. And she's rejoicing. And even in the midst of the pain, and even in the midst of the difficulties, Chris and I come away rejoicing because of what God's doing in her life. We went there to encourage her, and nothing doing. She encouraged us. So encouraged. Why? Because her faith goes beyond the circumstances of the moment, even to the future. And in the conversation, it comes down to, well, if I go home, if I die, I'm home with the Lord. I'll be in heaven tonight. And that's just the way it is. That is faith working. And she had nothing to hide. There was a roommate in there. I had an opportunity to talk to her roommate. And her roommate knew exactly what was going on because here's Fanny on a bed next to her praising God. We need to be praising God about the things that God is doing. Rudy Bebo was ready to face his surgery. He wasn't afraid. We had conversations with him, and he wasn't afraid to talk about it. And we could go on and on, but let's make it practical to us. And what you see was Elizabeth, and I want you to get that. Above everything else in the text, she's praising God. What do you find out with Mary? Is she going to be the same way? Let's quickly look at it. I got to cover 10 verses, 11, 46 to 56. Yes, this is known as Mary's Magnificat. That's what this is known as. It's Mary's hymn of praise. It again comes from the Latin Vulgate because of that translation. But it really comes out of verse 46. Mary starts with, "My soul exalts the Lord." She's praising God. She makes God great in her life. And that's what she's doing. What is she doing as God's working in her life? As God's working in Elizabeth's life? She is magnifying God. She is saturated with what? The greatness of God. She's not focused even on how am I going to answer my neighbors? How am I going to answer this? She is just focused on what God. And look at the characteristics. Let me give it to you quickly. In verse 46, she's exalting God. Verse 47, you've heard me comment, and I will again right now. She recognizes that this is her Savior coming into the world. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. She needs a Savior. She was not born without original sin, in spite of what's said or taught today. She needed a Savior just like anybody else, just like I do, and just like you do. She's praising God in verse 49. Take a look at it. For his holiness, his holy name, his righteousness. Look at the qualities. Verse 50. For his mercy upon generation after generation, and just rejoicing in it. In verses 51 and 52, his sovereignty, his mighty deeds, and the scattering of the proud, but he takes in the humble. In verse 53, he's the provider. He's the sustainer. Look at that. He's filled the hungry in good times. He sent away the rich empty-handed. He provides for us in every way. She is just lost in praising God for what he is doing. And his faithfulness in verses 54 and 55 to his promises. Absolutely amazing. So as God works in Mary's life, as God works in Elizabeth's life, what do we find in these verses? Just hearts of rejoicing in what God is doing in their personal life, in one another's lives, for the nation of Israel, in all around them, and focused on, look at what God's doing. Can you see the bigger picture of God in your life? Can you see the bigger picture of what God is doing in Fellowship Bible Church? Let's be honest. God has worked for 51 years in this church. God is still working in this church. And throughout the history of the church, and I haven't been here from day one, the church has also been filled with complainers, with everything that's wrong, in everything that everybody's doing, in everything that this one didn't do and that one didn't do. But it's also been filled with people who've gotten saved, who people who have gone into the mission field, who people who are going around the world, and people whose mouths are full of praise. Why? Because God's doing marvelous works even now. And to see how God has provided for this church, and to see how God has provided for the school, and to see people coming together like yesterday, coming together and watching that ministry fair day and all the people involved. My friend, if you're attending this church and you know Christ, your lips should be filled with praise because God is doing marvelous things. And the next time you get ready to complain, look in the mirror and say, God, before I complain, I want to thank you for my complaining. And you know what? You won't be able to do it. Because God will humble you to your knees. And you'll begin to praise God for who he is. You wouldn't be saved. You wouldn't be blessed in your family life if God wasn't working. We wouldn't be blessed here. You know another marvelous thing about this passage? Mary was absolutely saturated with Scripture. My intent was to turn to 1 Samuel 2. I won't turn there. I'll give you as a reference. That's Hannah's song. Hannah, remember Hannah in the Old Testament? When she heard she was going to have a son, and she just praised God and she went out. A lot of that same terminology is coming out in this particular passage, and I have no doubt in my mind that Mary knew that well. You want to know the amazing thing? Mary in this passage is going to quote from 1 Samuel 2, Psalm 103, Psalm 44, Psalm 89, Psalm 98, Psalm 107, Psalm 147, Job chapter 12, Job chapter 5, and those are just some of them, and that's the truth. Those are just some of the quotes that are going to come out in those 11 verses. And you know what? She wasn't carrying this. She didn't have what you have in your hands and what I have in my hands. She couldn't turn around at Elizabeth's house and say, pull out the scrolls. But she was a person that was so conscious of what God was doing that when she was in a synagogue or when she heard the rabbi speak, she meditated on the word of God and she turned it and it was real in her life. And she had more scripture memorized without having the Bible in her hand than most Christians have memorized with the Bible in their hand. And that's why she was able to praise God. Because she was filled with scripture. And the Spirit of God controlled her life. And even when the difficult things were there, she remembered Hannah, God answered her, and it just spewed out of her mouth. She remembered how God blessed, and the Psalms just flew forth from her mouth. Because she knew the scriptures. And they were a part of her life. Amazing. She knew him, she believed him, and she rejoiced in him. And she stayed there, according to verse 56, to about the time John, I don't know whether she left just before he was born or after. We can do the math. It was 6 months, she stayed there 3, so it's pretty close to John's birth, and we don't specifically have the answer. I think there's indications as we go further that she was probably not there for the actual birth. She was gone. But what an exciting reunion with a relative she hasn't seen. And what a great opportunity to praise God and to rejoice. And you know what? We should be doing the same. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Now, is there more that I could bring out in those passages and details? Yeah, I'm not overlooking them. I just want you to see, though, that the center of it was these two passages were women praising God for what he was doing, and they were making it known. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 15, let me just jump right to it. Through him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood, his own blood, according to verse 12, let us, what's the next word in English? Don't let it stop. Don't let it stop. Continually offer up a sacrifice of what? Praise to God. That is, watch this, the fruit of what? Come on. Our lips. Our lips. We should be praising God continually. That give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing. Watch this, for with such sacrifices God's well pleased. You want God to be pleased with your life? Do I want God to be pleased with my life? Let it flow like it did in Mary's life, like it did in Elizabeth's life. No jealousy, no looking at someone else and wondering why they were left out, but rejoicing in what God was doing in their personal life, in other people's lives, in the nation's lives, what would happen to the Gentiles, and just praising as they had the foresight, if you will, because they were filled with the Spirit of God, and the insight, if you will, to be able to look at the big picture. You know, it's interesting. I'm happen to be looking at a picture of Fellowship Bible Church. I guess you are the same. I don't know why it wasn't off, but it's on. Can you look at that and see the shrubs and see the sign and see the building, or can you see the big picture? Can you see the people inside? Can you see the people who haven't come through those doors yet? Can you see the people that God's going to save? Can you see the children who just got working gloves that if God tarries, is going to send out into the mission field? Can you see the big picture? Can you rejoice about what God's doing? Can you look at that and see yourself sitting in there and saying, look at what God's done in my life. Look at the salvation he's provided. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 will be my last verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 16 to 18. Rejoice always. My Bible doesn't say rejoice when you're in a good mood. My Bible doesn't say rejoice only when God answers prayer. My Bible says rejoice always. My Bible says pray when I need something. Pray when I'm in trouble. Well, in a way it does, but it says more than that. It says pray without ceasing. Be constant in prayer. And lastly, verse 18. When things go well, give thanks. When God is blessing, give thanks. My Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Because you need to look at the bigger picture. What is God accomplishing? And you know what? We have to be honest. Sometimes, as God's left us here on earth, we don't know. We don't know. We don't see the big picture. We wonder. We get anxious. We get down. We get discouraged. We do. But rise above it. Rejoice in the Lord, because it says, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. We see an example of that this morning. Mary and Elizabeth rejoicing in things that turned their world upside down. They saw the bigger picture. Their faith went into action, and they were praising. My prayer is that we walk out of here with praise on our lips that the world will begin to hear. So that you'll be ready to praise God, to share the gospel, to share the answers to prayer, and we can rejoice with one another in what God is doing. When that happens, God will get the glory, and the sound of our praise will be heard throughout this community. My God, working out all of our lives to accomplish that task. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for the Word of God. I thank you for the examples, the humble examples. You took a humble girl, teenager, and a humble old woman. Changed their lives, turned it upside down for the glory of God, and they were willing to accept it. And they were willing to just praise and rejoice, first with one another, and then eventually it'll be seen over and over again because they were filled, they were led by the Spirit of God. They were controlled by the Spirit of God. Oh, Father, help us to be a people that see the bigger picture of what you're doing. Help us to have lives that are filled with continual thanksgiving, continual praise, continual rejoicing, and continual prayer. So that, Father, we would be walking in the will of God, you would be well pleased, and, Father, others will hear about the great God that we know, we love, and we serve because he first loved us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.